Please be seated. Ashes have traditionally been a sign of repentance and mourning. Ashes inherently represent the passing of something vital. A tree which once grew tall, a house destroyed by fire, all that is left of a corpse after the flesh has been burned away. Ashes from the burned palms of last year's Palm Sunday carry the reminder that the grandiose hopes of triumphal parades can so easily turn to betrayal, persecution, and burial. On Ash Wednesday, as we turn from our daily lives to observe the start of Lent, that season of penitence and preparation, we take ashes and draw the sign of the cross, one forehead at a time, saying, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." It always amazes me a bit how many people are eager to receive ashes. Even today, when we had our 9:15 chapel service with our itty bitties, they couldn't wait to line up to get their ashes and swarmed us. You wouldn't think that we need or are eager to hear reminders of our mortality. After all, we get those all the time. Loved ones die. Our own bodies show signs of wear. We are in the midst of broken situations and broken communities. And we never have to look too far to see decay and corruption. Sacraments are those places where God's grace and promise of forgiveness, redemption, eternal life is joined to a visible element. While the ashes of repentance are not an official sacrament because their imposition is not commanded by Christ in Scripture, our eagerness to receive ashes makes sense in the light of sacramental theology. There is grace in truth. Despite the many reminders of mortality which surround us, we also live in a culture of denial. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, simply puts the truth on the table. It's an awesome, if unwelcome, starting point for a relationship with God's grace. And it must also be said that this recognition of mortality is just the tip of the iceberg. Return to the Lord your God, for the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and of great kindness, Joel promises. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Christ says in Matthew. And in John, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. in the light of Christ, in the hope of Christ. Our mortality is not something to be feared or denied. In fact, mortality with its inevitable suffering is something that we share with every one of our human brothers and sisters. While we might think of mortality in connection with the isolation of loss, the dust we share can also be a point of connection. We are not at our best. We are not our most glorious. We are not most fully human only when things are going well and when we are lost in the rapture of joy. We may also be at our best precisely when things are at their worst. How we respond to suffering, disaster, death, can be just as glorious as our best hymn singing. I'm reminded of the death and suffering that All Saints by the Sea lived through together just years ago. And rather than scatter like individual specks of dust in the face of death, you found your way together and found your way through the valley of the shadow of death with grace and strength in community found in Christ, a testimony to the hope found in Christ. Your grief will turn to joy. But we cannot do it as individual specks of dust. The breath of God, which gives us life, also blows us dust motes together, a kind of holy dust bunny. And then dust is looking better all the time. When it is joined to God's promise that even dust can be holy stuff.